Okay, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one in him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Let's just pray again. Our Father and our God in heaven, we bow before you this morning and recognize afresh that these things that we read in this passage are beyond us. They can't be understood with human intellect. Any kind of human wisdom or understanding of these things are foolishness to the natural mind. And yet, Father, as we read them, enlightened by your Spirit, we not only understand the things that are written here, but we also understand the application to our own lives. And we ask that your Spirit would have absolute liberty and control as we look into these things, that you might direct my heart, my mind, every word that comes out of my mouth, that it might be seasoned in such a way that it would be a blessing to the dear saints here and would be a challenge to our hearts. That if there's anyone here that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as his Savior, oh Father, that today would be the day. That one may be someone that comes every Lord's Day and yet has not believed on the Lord Jesus, that today would be the day that they pass from death to life and come to know him as Lord and Savior. So we lift up these things to you, O Father. We ask your blessing to the praise and glory of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, this man Abraham is amazing. I think he's one of the most amazing characters in all of Scriptures. Because here's one who was an idolater. He lived among idolaters. We saw that last time when we looked at this. Ur of the Chaldees right there had to pass through Babylon on his way to Canaan. His family were idolaters, all of his neighbors, everyone around him. And yet the voice of God cries out to this man Abraham and says to him, go to a place. And doesn't even tell him where he's going. Go to a place that I'll show you along the way. He didn't know how long it was going to be. He didn't know how far it was. And yet his faith was in God. Now think about that. And those of us who came out of idolatrous systems have a special appreciation for this man Abraham. Because you know what? It's easier to follow a religion that has idols. It is. In fact, that's the excuse that I was given one time by my brother. Well, it's so much easier. You know, we can see the saints, and we can see Jesus, and we can know what he looks like, and we can have something tangible. As Christians, what tangible thing do we have? We've never seen God. We weren't there when the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified or rose again from among the dead. We've never seen heaven. We're like Abraham, called out from among an idolatrous people. And you know what? Like Abraham, we took God at his word, and we believed him. And 28 years later, and for some of you, many, many more years, we still believe, don't we? We still haven't seen God. We still haven't seen Jesus Christ. We still haven't seen heaven, and yet we still believe. You think about Abraham. He was 75 years old when God gave him the promise. He was 100 when he finally saw Isaac born. He died at 175, and what did he have? I mean, God had promised him that his offspring would be so innumerable they'd be like the stars of heaven or like the sands on the seashore. He had one son and two grandchildren. Two grandsons. And that's all he had. And yet we read in this portion that he died according to faith in verse 13. Not just in faith, but according. In other words, he died the same way he had lived. He persevered all the way to the end, and yet he never received those things that God had promised him. Did he receive the land of promise? Did he receive Canaan? Absolutely not. What did he own in Canaan? A burial spot. That was it. Where his wife Sarah lay. Her body was there. That's all he had. That's all he had. And yet God had taken him up and said, as far as you can see, to the east, to the west, to the north, and the south, I promise to give it to you. And he never got it. Did Isaac ever have it? Absolutely not. Did Jacob ever possess it? Never did. And yet these men and their families, by faith, died according to how they lived. You know, I think one of the saddest things is to see an older person who's gone on for the Lord Jesus Christ so many years, near the end of their life, just seem to kind of, their faith kind of peters out. They turn their back on things. And it's like their life meant nothing. For the true believer, one of the evidences of our salvation is that we persevere to the end. Now, we all understand that my salvation is secure, that once I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, once I put my faith in Him, once I understand that I'm a sinner and that only Jesus Christ can save me and that I receive Him as my Lord and Savior, I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth and it's a reality, there's no way that can ever be taken away from me. And it's the Lord that holds me in His hand and nobody can take me out. Not all the forces of nature can take me out of God's hand. But the other side of the coin is the evidences of my salvation. One of them is that I persevere, that I go on. You know, one of the ways that I know that I'm saved, not only did I believe 28 years ago, but I still believe. I still believe. I still trust. I mean, you talk to people and they say, well, I believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, X number of years ago, but I haven't been to meetings, I haven't read my Bible, I haven't prayed, I haven't spent any time with God for the last 10 years, but I know I'm going to heaven. Well, I'll tell you what, if I was that person, I wouldn't know. I think I told you about a man one time we met in Spain. We asked him, how do you know you're going to heaven? He said, well, I got this. He hadn't been reading his Bible, he hadn't been praying, hadn't been spending any time with the Lord, hadn't been spending any time with the saints at all for years. And he said, well, I got this baptismal certificate signed by the elders. And we had to inform him something very sad. When you stand up in heaven, you ain't going to have that with you. What are you going to say then? I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The Lord preserves me. But the other side of the coin is, I continue on. And Abraham didn't falter. He didn't doubt. He didn't turn back. It says later on, verse 15, and truly if they had been mindful of that country in which they came out, they might have an opportunity to have returned. You don't think that Abraham couldn't have packed his bag and gone back to Haran anytime he wanted to? Gone back to Ur anytime he wanted to? Absolutely could have. You don't think he could have stayed down in Egypt when he went down there for a time? Or gone back to Egypt at some time? He could have. God didn't force him to stay in the land of Canaan. God didn't constrain him. God didn't put up some barriers around him so he couldn't get out. He wasn't in prison. He stayed there willingly, waiting, anticipating the fulfillment of the promise. Although he never saw it. He waited all the way up to the end. Well, there's so many things in the Christian experience that we wait for the Lord Jesus Christ, don't we? And I said it last night. The hope of every believer until the last breath leaves our lungs, until our heart beats for the final time, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and I'm going home in the rapture. Maybe we won't. But why doubt? Like we said last night, it takes one heartbeat, one blink of the eye, between being here in this world and being up in the air with the Lord Jesus. So as long as I got one heartbeat left, as long as I got one more blink of my eye left, my anticipation, my faith is that Jesus Christ has come back. Why? Because he made me a promise. I go to a prayer place for you, and I'm coming again to take you unto myself. What hope? I mean, that's even a better hope than Abraham had. Abraham continued. Isaac continued. Jacob continued. And we'll see it later on in all of these men and women of faith that are listed here in Hebrews chapter 11. They continued on. They all died according to faith. Never possessing, never having the things that God had promised them, but they waited on him. You know, when they lived in the land of promise, they lived as strangers or foreigners and pilgrims. You know, when Sarah died and the sons of Heath, Abraham went to them to seek out a burying place for Sarah, and when he comes to them, they call him a mighty prince among us. And yet, what did Abraham call himself? This is in Genesis 23, 4 through 6, if you want to look at it later. They said, "You're a mighty prince among us." He said, "I'm a stranger and a sojourner." "You're a mighty prince. You can have whatever. We'll give it to you if you want it." He said, "Nope. I'll pay the price. Because I'm just a stranger and a sojourner here." If any man had a right to that land, if any man had a right to say, "This is mine, I'm going to plant my feet solid right here," it was Abraham. Far more than any of us. And yet he never did it. All of these, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because this one was talking about, and Sarah, of course, is included in that, all of these lived a life of faith. And they lived as strangers and pilgrims in this world. And that's such a contrast to Cain. Look what it says about Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 13 and 14. It says, "And Cain said unto the Lord," this was after he killed his brother Abel, and the Lord had sent him out. He said that he would divide him, he would send him away from all the rest of mankind. "And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. And it shall come to pass that everyone that findeth me shall slay me." A fugitive and a vagabond. You know what? Every single person in this room this morning is either a pilgrim and a stranger or a fugitive and a vagabond. Every one of us. And I don't know what you are. Only you know. But which is it? Ask yourself. Examine your heart. Am I a pilgrim and a stranger here, or am I a fugitive and a vagabond? A fugitive is one who is on the run or taking flight from someone or something. He's leading an unsettled, irresponsible, and disreputable life. That's what a fugitive is. Fugitive from justice. Someone running away, trying to hide, hoping people don't find him. Isn't that what many are doing today? They're hiding from the Lord. They think they can. They think they can do things in secret and God doesn't see it. He sees it all. A vagabond is one who wanders around aimlessly with no purpose or meaning to life. Isn't that true of our culture, our society today? Isn't that true of so many people we know? They've got no purpose to life. They've got no meaning to life. They go around, young people, they're going, what are we here for? What do I exist for? Well, as believers, we know why we're here, don't we? For the glory of God. We know why we were created. For the glory of God. We know why we were saved. For the glory of God. And what higher calling can there be than that? But the world walks around and says, I don't know why I'm here. That's why they can put a gun to their head and just blow their brains out, because why am I here? You know, as soon as I blow my brains out, it's all going to be over. I'm just going to cease to exist anyway. They've lied to themselves. We know. In contrast, a pilgrim or sojourner is one who journeys in a foreign land. And a stranger, or also a foreigner, is a resident alien, one who is not native to the place where he is and who has his allegiance at somewhere else. Someone who lives temporary in a place that is not his natural homeland. We lived in Spain for 10 years. I don't care if you lived there for 50 years. We were never a Spaniard. Couldn't have been. I mean, we might have actually gotten Spanish citizenship. It was offered to us. We could have done that. Doesn't matter. I'd never been a Spaniard. Couldn't have been. My home's in Boonville, Missouri. That's where I was born and raised. As long as I live in Durham, I'm never going to be a Durhamite. Is that the right word? I'm always going to be a Midwesterner. However long I live here, I'm not going to be from here. I'm a stranger here. I'm a foreigner here. This isn't my natural birthplace. Well, brother, isn't that what's true about us? We're passing through. We're on a journey. We know where we came from and we know where we're going. But we're passing through this foreign land. We're passing through this place that's not our homeland, not our fatherland, not the place where we have allegiance to. Our allegiance is in heaven. Our home is there. We're waiting. Jesus Christ is preparing a place for us. And we're on our journey home. We don't know how long it might be. It might be over today. It might not be over for another 20 years. But we know that we're on our way home. That's what Abraham did. He lived in tents. Never had a house built. Never had a place he could call home. He was a nomad. He moved from one place to another. All throughout the land that God had promised him. He never settled down. The children of Israel, as they came through that desert land, and even once they got into the land, they had to realize they're just pilgrims, just strangers, foreigners. And that's what we are. And I talk to people all the time. You know, I say, well, you know, it's great to be an American. I say, well, yeah, okay. But you know what? It's great to be a believer. It's great to be saved. It's great to live in this country. Okay. I understand that. There's advantages to living here. There's disadvantages to living here, too. But we can't settle down. We can't put down roots here. We can't settle down here. We're on a journey. I helped. Some of y'all know Kelvin Matthews. He's getting married here in a couple of weeks. And moved down to South Carolina. And so I took a couple of loads of his stuff down there. For a single guy, he's got a lot of stuff. And I asked him, why you got all this stuff, man? I'll tell you what. If I didn't have Angie and my kids, I mean, I could put all the stuff in the back of my pickup truck. I mean, there'd be nothing to it. You know? I mean, I just don't understand. We get all this stuff, and then what happens? We got to move it all. And we got to set it all back up. Now he's got to build a shed down. He's got to build a building because he's got so much stuff he can't get it all in his house. Is that how we're to live? We're here today and gone tomorrow. When we went over to Peru and we went to Spain, we put everything in a few duffel bags. And let me tell you what, when you have to put everything in just a few duffel bags, you really understand and have to find out what's important and what's not. I think I told you when we came back from Peru, I had all these duffel bags packed up with all the stuff we really wanted to bring back, a bunch of stuff we just left down there. But we wanted to come back with all this stuff packed up, and somebody broke into our little garage thing and stole all those duffel bags. Stole every one of them. Well, I'll tell you what, it really shows you what's important in this life. It really shows you what matters. But isn't that the way it is? We're just pilgrims here. What do we really possess that's important? It isn't. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Bob Brown was talking about it, and I saw this couple again at the workers' conference in Kansas. that we worked on their house, and they lost everything. The water was up 8 feet in their house, 9 feet in their house. They lost everything. All their pictures, everything they owned was gone. And they were the ones that had that sign out in front of the house that said, "This stuff is not our life. Our life is hid in the Lord Jesus Christ." They figured out, they found out what's really important and what isn't. And you know what they're thankful for? The Lord preserved their lives. Because the stuff, well, you can always replace that. That's transient. But what has the Lord given us? Life. And life eternal. And life abundant. That's what's important. That's what's important. And Abraham knew that. He lived not as a vagabond, not as a fugitive, hiding and running, wandering about, not knowing where he was going. He lived as a stranger, as a pilgrim. He knew where he had come from, and he knew where he was going. David had that same attitude. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 13, verse 15, he says, "For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding." Isn't that the truth? It's just a vapor, just a wisp of smoke is all my life is. Here today and gone tomorrow. You know, it seems so precious and so important to us today, doesn't it? I mean, here I am 47 years old, and 47, that's a long time to live, you know? And I look back over and I think, wow, I didn't think I was going to make it to 27, let alone 47. But what's that? What's 47 years? It's nothing. This earth has been around 6,000 years. What's my little 47 years in comparison to 6,000? But even more than that, I'm going to live for eternity. And what's 47 years compared to eternity? Huh. It's really nothing. And yet it seems so important and so precious right now, doesn't it? Because sometimes we forget that we're pilgrims and strangers. Sometimes we get so settled down in this life that we forget we're on a journey or we're heading home. We got to pack light. Verse 39 and 40 of the same chapter, look what it says. And this is about all the people that are listed in this chapter, not only just the last ones, but it said, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect." All of these, not just Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all those that are listed in this chapter, all these great men and women of faith, never received the fulfillment, never received the fruition, the totality of the promise. They got little bits and pieces of it along the way. But they waited on the Lord. And the end of their lives like they started it. What an encouragement is that. And you know what? They didn't have this. They didn't have this testimony. Why should we stumble and falter? Look what we have. We have a book filled with the promises of God that He's fulfilled over and over again. And the few that are left, how can we ever doubt? How can we ever doubt? You need to think about it. No man wants to be without a home. You know, a man's home, that's his castle, you know? And he gathers all of his stuff there, he gathers his family there, and I think in America today, more than ever, we've got this concept that this is my house, and this is my fortress, and my boys have their bedroom, they call it the fortress of solitude, you know? And they don't like it when people come walking in there, especially their sisters, you know, but their sisters have full reign, they walk in there, because I remind my sons, that room does not belong to them, it belongs to me. And all their stuff in it belongs to me, not them. So anyway, they call it the fortress of solitude, where they go in there, they shut the door, and they kind of block everything out. And isn't that how we do in our homes anymore? I mean, it used to be, people went from home to home, we visited, every night of the week, we go here, there, and everywhere. Now we go home in the evening, we shut the door, we turn off the front porch light, and we just hope that nobody comes around to bother us. Right? Isn't that how we are? We like our homes. Man likes to have a place he can call his own. He likes to have his stuff there. And yet, think about the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said unto him, "The foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He was the true pilgrim, wasn't he? He was the true stranger. He was a true foreigner in this land. He was the one that understood better than anybody. It says in John chapter 13, he knew where he came from and he knew where he was going. And because of that fact, he could take that towel and gird himself and wash his disciples' feet because he didn't have any doubt who he was and where he was going. That's why he could be the servant. That's why he could live in this world and have no place to call home. That's why he could live in this world and the only thing he'd own was the clothes on his back that were stripped from him and robbed from him before he died. He was a true pilgrim, a true stranger, always walking in this world, possessing nothing. And you know, brethren, we've got to be careful. We've got to really be careful, and it's something for each one of us to examine ourselves. Is there anything that we possess that we wouldn't be willing to give away? Is there anything in our homes that we have? Any articles around the house or the house itself, our cars, our vehicles, whatever it might be, is there anything we possess that if someone were in need of, we wouldn't be willing to give away? And we've got to examine our own hearts in that, don't we? And let me give you a piece of advice. If there's something like that in your home, get rid of it today. Get rid of it. It's an idol to you. It's an idol to you. If you love it that much, get rid of it. After I got saved, I had a Camaro. One of the few Chevys I ever owned. I don't know what possessed me to buy a Chevy, but I owned one once, a Camaro. It was a nice little LT, nice little fast car, and it was really pretty, and I loved the thing. I mean, I washed the engine every week, hand washed it. I mean, this thing was immaculate. I loved that car more than anything. But the Lord knew I loved it, and he took it away from me. And I thank God that he did. There should never be anything we possess in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ gave it all up, and then he said, follow me. You see, the pilgrim life isn't an easy life. The pilgrim life isn't a life of roses. It's a life of hardship and difficulties. You ever lived in a tent? You ever gone out camping and the storms come down? I remember one time I was in a Boy Scout, and we decided we were going to go out camping this one particular weekend, and it snowed about a foot and a half. We walked out to this place in the snow, put up our tent, dug a hole down in the snow, put our tent up, and I'm telling you what, it was cold. Only white little bead I had on my little, you know, those that are in Boy Scouts know there's a little thing we had with beads on them for every time we went camping. One little white bead is all I had on there, and I'll tell you what, it cost a lot to get that little white bead. But it wasn't any fun. Who is here would want to live in a tent all the time? That's what Abraham did with Isaac and with Jacob. They all lived in tents. They were transient. They were passing through the world. But what they had was more than what the Lord Jesus Christ had. He didn't have a tent. He said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have a pillow to lay it on. He didn't have a blanket to cover himself up. He had his tunic that he wore, and that was it. And are we falling in that same pathway? You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ prayed for his own in chapter 17 of John, one of the things that he says to the Lord, and he says, they are not of the world, speaking not only of his disciples, but of us as well. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Can I say that, really? Can I honestly say that in the same way that the Lord Jesus Christ was not of this world, I'm not of this world? Can I say that? Can you say that honestly? I'm not of this world. It doesn't matter to me. I'm a big Cardinal fan. I love the Cardinals, always was. But you know what? When it comes right down to it, it doesn't matter who wins and who loses. I mean, it's fun to watch, but who cares? It's not going to change my life at all if the Cardinals win or lose. Who cares? Who cares that NC State got torn up yesterday by Maryland? Who cares when it comes right down to it? Who really cares? Honestly. And yet we get so caught up with those things sometimes, don't we? Our life almost centers around, I've got to be home and watch that game, you know? Duke's playing or UNC's playing. Who would want to watch them play football? But anyway, they're playing and we got to get home and see them. Who cares? yourself that question this afternoon. Really, get along with the Lord this afternoon and ask yourself that question. Ask the Lord to reveal your heart to you and say, Lord, am I in the same way that you are not of this world? Am I not of this world? Am I as much a pilgrim and a stranger here, not just like Moses, or excuse me, like Aaron, Abraham was, but like Jesus Christ was? Abraham had a purpose and a goal in his life. He looked for a country. He looked for a city which he never saw. He saw the shadow of those things in the land of promise, in Canaan, but all the reality of it was yet future. We come every Lord's Day and we have the emblems, the bread and the cup before us. And yet those are just shadows. Those are just symbolic of the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. We haven't seen the reality. We haven't seen the fulfillment of those things, but someday we will. So I said, God never forced him to leave Ur of the Chaldees. He never forced him to leave Haran, where he was there with his father Terah for a while. He never forced him to come back out of Egypt. He never forced him to stay in the land of promise. He could have gone back there any time he wanted. In fact, Jacob went back there and lived in Laban's home for over 20 years. And who told him to leave? Nobody. Nobody. But where was his heart? Back in his homeland, back in Canaan, back in the place where he had been born and raised. And the first opportunity he got, he went back, even though he never possessed the land. You know, we'll read us more about Jacob later on. Here was this man who all he wanted was the stuff of this life at the beginning. When he first got to Laban's house, he wanted Rachel. Got Leah and got both of them, and he wanted children and he wanted possessions, he wanted those things. But you know, at the end of his life, you see him like this, worshiping and leaning on a staff. Isn't that how we all want to go out? Isn't that how you want to leave this world? Isn't that how I want to leave this world? Worshiping and leaning on a staff. That staff speaks of the Lord Jesus. Whatever difficult times or hard times arose in their hearts, the children of Israel, whenever they had difficulties, they were out in the wandering in the wilderness, their hearts went back to Egypt, didn't they? They didn't follow the pattern of their ancestors or their fathers. Their hearts went back to Egypt. Boy, I remember all the good stuff back in Egypt. Does your heart ever go back to the life you had before Christ? I remember some of the things that I did before I was a believer. Some were pretty fun. Some were pretty enjoyable. And I've got to admit you, sometimes I think about those things. But when you wake up from that drunken stupor, from that dream that you're in, and you say, and what did it all mean? What good did it do me? It didn't give me any fulfillment. It didn't meet my needs. Why would I ever want to turn back? Persevere to the end. It's close. It's near. Maybe before we come back this afternoon, we'll hear that trump. We'll hear that shout. We'll hear that voice of the archangel, and we'll be snatched up, thank God, snatched up out of this world. That's our hope. Better hope than Abraham had. Better hope than Isaac had. Better hope than Jacob had. Better hope than any of these had. Let's persevere to the end. Let's not just be saved by faith, but let's live by faith. Let's go out of this world according to the way that we lived our life, holy, looking up to the Lord Jesus. We're out of time. Well, I'll tell you what, there's some other stuff here. And we're going to stop now. It's going to be a few weeks before we get back to this. But think about these things. Consider them. Are we living here as pilgrims? Are we just as much strangers in this world as our Lord Jesus Christ? Are we following Him in the path that he lived in his life down here? And let me tell you what, if you're just a fugitive and a vagabond, if you're just walking around this world aimlessly with no purpose, and maybe you've made some profession of faith, but you realize it's not a reality, I'll tell you what, don't wait one more day. I saw my mom this last couple weeks ago, and I tell her, you know what, when you play that game, it's like playing Russian roulette. You know Russian roulette is they put a billboard in one of the chambers of a gun, they put it to their head, and click and hope the bullet isn't there. But you know what you're doing? You're playing Russian roulette with a gun that's filled with bullets. Every chamber is filled. And you put that gun up to your head and pull that trigger. There's no hope. There's no other way. Come to Christ today. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank you for his example to us. He was truly that stranger, that pilgrim that lived in this world, that had nothing as far as this world with possessions were concerned. But yet, Father, he knew where he came from and he knew where he was going. And we do too. There's no doubt in our minds. We've got eternal life. We've got a mansion waiting for us there in heaven. We've got a hope and a promise from one that can never lie. And yet, oh Father, we admit, we confess to you this morning that so many times we live in a totally different way. We live just like the world does so many times, just so caught up with the things of this world, the possessions that we own. Oh Father, free us from these things. Take them away from us if that's necessary. Free us from the life that's down here, this temporary life of shadows and problems and difficulties. And just help us to be seated there in heavenly places, to know where we're going, to live our lives looking upward and anticipating the soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, for some here that don't have that hope, if they're like Cain, just walking around as vagabonds and fugitives, oh Father, might the day be the day they pass out of that and become pilgrims and strangers and know where they're going and have a purpose in their life and a meaning to life. Through all these things, oh Father, we know we're asking a lot, but if there's anybody else, they couldn't do it, but you can. What's impossible for man is possible with you, O Father. And in doing so, we'll give you the thanks and the praise through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.